Good evening once again. Had a wonderful afternoon. Able to go eat lunch with Pastor Jeremy and then went over to the Wetmores and spent the afternoon out there. What a wonderful time, great fellowship, and just really enjoyed our time. So thank you, everyone, again, for having us here. It truly is a wonderful privilege for us. Tonight, I'd like to share from God's Word. We'll be in Galatians chapter 6, and we're going to read just a few verses, Galatians chapter 6, and we're going to read down to verse 10, and we'll read and then we'll pray. Let me ask you to do something a little bit different. If you'd stand with me as we read God's Word, 10 verses. It says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the opportunity that you have given us to be here this evening, Lord, to be gathered here amongst believers, your church, Lord, that we may open your word and read, Lord, be closer drawn to you, we pray, through the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, through your working in our hearts and lives. We just ask, Lord, that you would prepare our hearts to receive your word, Lord, and that we would be strengthened in the Spirit to go forth and to live this week, Lord, for you, Lord, that we would meditate upon the truths of your word, Lord, and that we would allow you to change our hearts, change our attitudes, our thoughts, Lord, that they would become more like you, Lord, that our lives would be living testimonies to those around us. Lord, we thank you, we praise you for all you do for us, and guide and direct us, I pray, this evening in Jesus' name, amen. You may take your seats. Obviously, as we come to this last chapter in Galatians, the preceding chapter, chapter 5, we have what is known as the fruit of the Spirit, right? Galatians chapter 5, a very familiar passage of Scripture. We have the very stark contrast that God gives us, what life in the flesh looks like versus what life through the Spirit of God looks like. And in chapter 6, you really can't start into chapter 6 until you've built your way up there, although we're going to do that anyways. We will go back. I want to go back and look real quick at chapter 5, and we're going to look at the fruits of the Spirit, because Paul begins to really expound in all of Paul's writings. He's very he strives to demonstrate for us as Christians, as children of God, what a new life in Christ looks like. We are familiar with the verse that when we receive Christ, that when we receive this the wonderfully free gift of salvation, that all things, that all the old things of our life are passed away. Behold, all things have become new, or literally are becoming new. And yet, we look around us And so much, unfortunately, tends to stay the same. And so there's an apparent contradiction there somewhere. If all the old things are passed away and all things are becoming new, yet we continually to stay the same, then something's wrong. Something's out of gear. And what is that? What is the problem? Is God's word not reliable? Maybe, or maybe the plan, you know, God's plan has some holes in it. I don't think so. God's plan is perfect. His word is perfect. You won't find any holes there. So if there's a problem, then it must be with us, right? And when we look, it's interesting as we look at the fruit of the Spirit. That word, let's go ahead and read it. Let's start in verse 16. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Okay? Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not. It doesn't say maybe not. It doesn't say kind of not. It doesn't say you'll mostly get it right. It says, if you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And this is why. Verse 17, it says, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit..." And notice it says fruit, singular, not fruits, one fruit. "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another." And so we see this very stark contrast, and we're not going to go through the whole list of these things. That would just take a lot of time tonight, and I don't, although it's very beneficial to study these things and to understand them, we're not going to do that. But we see that God has given us the Spirit, His Spirit, the Comforter. I remember when you think back into when Jesus was talking to His disciples, and the disciples didn't want Jesus to leave. They didn't want Him to go. And He says, "I need to go." And why? "So that I can send the Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit who is at work in this world today. He's at work in our hearts and lives, revealing to us the truth of God's word, convicting men of sin, sharing His love to each other. And it says that if we have the fruit of the Spirit, it is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentle, meanness, goodness, faith, temperance. Against such there is no law. All of those things will be in your life at the same time. A lot of times we like to think, well, I'm filled with the Spirit. I'm doing all right. Right now I've got patience and there's love. I'm full of faith and goodness. Maybe not so meek, maybe I'm struggling with meek and my pride, but more or less I'm being led by the Spirit, right? Well, no, that's actually wrong, Because if you're filled with the Spirit of God, all things will be in your life at the same time. And the reason why we have this list is because if one of those things are absent from our lives, then we can easily say, I'm still in the flesh. I'm still struggling with my flesh. And it's there so that we can realize that, so we can say, okay, Lord, help me. Help me. I want to be in the Spirit. I want to be filled with your Spirit. I want to walk in your Spirit. I want to know, I want to have the victory in my life over all these things. Because it says, what we read in verse 16, if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. True victory in the Christian life is found, as was mentioned this morning in Sunday school, in the power of the Spirit of God. It's not found in what you and I are able to do in our strength. It is as we live a life dependent upon the Spirit of God. And that's where the Christian life, the victorious Christian life, is won or lost. Right there. It's hard for us to relinquish control. It's hard for us to be yielded to the Spirit of God. Why? Because even though we are saved, if we've received Jesus Christ and we have this new life that God has given us, we are still trapped in this body of flesh which has been tainted, which has been contaminated by sin. And the flesh is at war against the Spirit of God. And the flesh doesn't want to give into God. It doesn't want to let God have control. You know, one of the things that I've realized is that as I look at my own life, and I desire to walk with God, and I desire to be used of God, this truth is so relevant and so important that it affects everything, even down to my relationship with my wife. In my flesh, I cannot be the husband that I'm supposed to be. I cannot, as the Bible says, that we are to submit ourselves one to another, and that I am supposed to love her like Christ loved the church and gave himself for the church. I cannot do that in the flesh, no matter how hard I try. It will not happen. And the reality of it is that what God wants to do is he wants to fill me with his Spirit so that he can actually be, through me, he can be the husband that she needs. That's the reality of it. The Spirit of God wants to fill me. Paul says, for me to live is Christ. His life, he realized this too. He wanted to that his life would be so much so lived in the power of Christ. That it was Christ in and through him accomplishing the work of God. Even Jesus Christ, when he came to this earth, it's interesting, his words, you know, when he was speaking, he says, I have only said that the things that the Father has told me to say, and I've only done the things that the Father has told me to do. Christ, God in flesh, even was submissive to the Father to only do and say the things that God told him to do and say. It wasn't, even though he was fully God and he had all power and all authority, he put all that aside and submitted himself to the Father so that not his life, but the life of the Father, that he would demonstrate for us what this looks like, how we should live our lives, to be Spirit-filled, to walk in the power of Christ. And as we learn to live in the power, in the Spirit of God, to walk in his Spirit, our lives will start to look and be more like that of Christ. Verse 26, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. The things of the flesh are so contrary to the spirit that if we're in the flesh, you cannot be in the spirit. Although we have the spirit at all times, he lives inside of us. But if we walk in the flesh, we will not, as in Sunday school this morning, Chad shared, we will not be connected to the source of power. And as we continue into chapter 6, it says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And I mentioned this morning that we basically are to be ditches. That water or the Spirit of God could flow through us freely so that the Spirit of God can work in the lives of their people. And we're just to be channels to which the Spirit of God can move freely and effectively, changing and working in people's hearts. And so it says here, you who are spiritual, or in other words, you guys, you that are walking in the Spirit of God, restore, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you who are walking in the Spirit of God, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bearing one another's burdens and fulfilling the law of Christ. We have this wonderful gift that God has given us, the Holy Spirit. And unfortunately, so much of the time, we do not acknowledge it. We do not acknowledge the Holy Spirit. A lot of times we're afraid to, because we don't want to sound, you know, we don't want to sound like the Pentecostals. Because they don't understand, they truly do not understand the Holy Spirit. They think they do, but they don't. But we're afraid to talk about the Holy Spirit because we don't want somebody to lump us in with them. In Colossians chapter 2, flip with me over there real quick. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 says this. It says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. It says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus. Paul in Colossians is writing, and he's calling upon the Christians, those who have received the gift of salvation, to remember that moment in their lives when they became convinced of their inability to save themselves and their need for a Savior, and when they cried out to Christ for salvation. Think back to your own life. If you're sitting here and you're saved, how did you become? How did you get to that point? Were you saved because your parents are Christians and they've always gone to church and they've always taken you to church and you're a pretty good person, so you know, you're automatically included, you're automatically saved? Is that why you're saved? Are you saved because you give your tithing faithfully every Sunday? Are you saved because your grandma was such a faithful person and she prayed you into heaven? Are you saved because you repeated a prayer? Somebody led you in the sinner's prayer, and now you said that prayer, and you're trusting in that prayer. That makes you saved? No. We are saved when what? When we place our faith in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. We come to the realization that we are doomed, desperate for the need of a Savior, lost, and Christ is the answer. And we cry out, and we place our faith in Jesus Christ, because He's the one who died on the cross. He's the one who rose again from the grave. He's the one who took our sins away. And if we place our faith in Him and believe in Him, then we're saved, right? That's what the Bible teaches. And it says, as ye have received Christ Jesus. How? Through faith. Says what? Walk ye therein. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. A lot of times we make this mistake as Christians. We get saved, and we trust in Jesus Christ. Our faith is in Him and in Him alone for our salvation. But the moment we're saved, then we switch gears, and all of a sudden, it's all about me now. I've got to do this. I've got to be this. I've got to work hard. I've got to be this great Christian. I've got to do X, X, and X, and X. And somehow we transition ourselves from faith in Christ who saved us to works. Just like that. And it's wrong. Because here it very clearly says, as we have received Jesus Christ through faith. And verse 5, the previous verse, actually says that. It says, for though I be absent in flesh, yet am I with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. So it's there contextually. I'm not taking that. I didn't read that verse, but the context is that of faith. Faith in Christ. We start in faith. We get saved in faith. And then we switch to a life of works, and we're frustrated, and we don't understand why things don't go well for us, why we can't have victory, why we continue to struggle. Because the Christian life was never designed to be able to be lived in the power of the flesh. It was always meant to include to be done in the power of God through faith. And so back to Galatians chapter 6. Ye who are spiritual, full of faith, walking in Christ, bear one another's burdens. Be that channel that Christ can flow through you, humbly considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Because this flesh is ever present in our lives. It's always there with us. It's always battling. It's always trying to take our eyes off of Jesus Christ and to put Him on ourselves. Bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Mankind. As I mentioned earlier, and I'll continue to use this illustration, we are nothing but a pile of dirt. From dust we were created, and to dust we will return. And the only thing, and yes, we matter, don't get me wrong, we matter to God. Enough so that He was willing to send His only Son to die on the cross for our sins. But the reality of us, of our flesh, is that it isn't worth anything, and we deceive ourselves if we begin to think that we are something. Because the only thing that really matters, that is really of value, is what is inside us. The Bible says we have this treasure hidden in earthen vessels. We are those earthen vessels. But the thing of value is what is inside of us. It is Christ who dwells in us. It is the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. And our value is the value that when we are living and walking in the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit of God can flow through us and be used through us to reach and to work in our own lives, but in the lives of others as well. So if you think of yourself to be something when you're nothing, you deceive yourself. I deceive my own self. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. How many times, but this speaks to the fact that so much of what we do it because so-and-so, or because somebody might be watching, or because somebody might be looking. And we have to put on this facade, and we have to put on this pretense of spirituality. But he says, let every man prove his own work, where? Before God. And then you will have true rejoicing. As you live and walk before God and before God alone, he is the judge. He is the one who is watching. He is the one who sees all things. Nothing is hidden from God. All of our works, even no matter how private they are not hidden from God. And if we will acknowledge that and walk humbly before God and walk in His Spirit, and then we can have true rejoicing, knowing that our works are before God and before Him alone. It says, for every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. You know, I've heard this verse taken and used to say that communicate, that means that we should take care of our pastors and preachers because they teach us the good things. Honestly, I don't see that anywhere in the context that it mentions that it even talks about pastors or teachers. We're talking about the Spirit of God. We're talking about communion with the Spirit of God. Where do we learn? Where should we meditate? Where should we be spending our time? In the Word of God. With the Spirit of God. That He would guide us and teach us all things and bring us into remembrance. All things whatsoever He hath taught us. We cannot be spiritual. We cannot be walking in the Spirit if we don't have communion with the Spirit. It's impossible. And then it says this, verses 7 and 8. It says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. This is another verse that I've heard taken out of context so much. I remember as a kid, and really, the reality of it is, I really haven't never stopped to consider what these verses actually mean until just this last year. I'll be honest with you. I've always heard, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So do good things so that you get good things in life. Right? Be a good person, be kind, you know, serve God, live for God, so that you'll reap good things in your life. And if you're a sinner, if you walk in sin, then you're going to reap bad consequences in your life. That's how, and not that there's not application to that, but that really is not what those verses are talking about. It says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And then the context we find in verse 8, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. That's what it's, the context is the flesh versus the Spirit. And we cannot deceive God because God is the one who tries our hearts. He knows the reasons why we do everything that we do, whether we do it motivated by the flesh or whether we do it unto the Spirit of God. Or through, I should say, the Spirit of God. God's the one who knows. We can deceive others. We can do great things. We can come to church and we can serve and we can be as humble as the day is long and you know, clean the bathrooms and take care of all the nasty jobs that nobody else wants to do. And we can deceive others and do it in this false humility. And receive praise of man for our humble service. But you cannot deceive God. If that is your motivation, and I'm not saying that it is, but if it is, God knows. And you cannot deceive him, and whatsoever is done out of the flesh, and if you're doing that for the reward and the praise of man, for man's recognition, that is of the flesh, and it has no everlasting rewards. It's interesting. Christ was outside in the temple, and remember the Pharisees are praying out loud and in a loud voice. And what does God say about that? He says, "Here they are. They're all dressed up, you know, all self-important, praying out loud so everybody can hear them." And what does he say to them? They have their reward. They're doing this for the recognition and for the honor of mankind. And they have their reward. But it means nothing before God. Their prayers don't even make it past their lips in the presence of God. Their show and all their everything that they do, even though they have this this pretext of humility, and this showing of godliness means absolutely nothing. And the only reward they have is this earthly one that they are receiving before men. Because of the flesh, the only thing that results is corruption. Nothing good comes of our flesh. Now, many times, God will take the things that we do in the flesh, and because God is God, and because God will accomplish his will, he will work in spite of us. But he will not be working through us. And we will not be receiving the blessings that God wants to bestow upon us. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. One day, you and I will stand before God, and we will give an account for everything that we've done. And the Bible describes that time as a fiery judgment in which all of our works will be tested, and the test will be that of fire. And the Bible says that everything that is wood, hay, and stubble will be burnt to ashes, and there will be nothing left. But that which is done of gold, silver, and precious stone will endure. Gold and silver will be even purified, will actually become even more pure. And what will we do with those rewards that we receive? We will cast them at the feet of Jesus. Why? And what will we say? You are worthy. We will realize in that moment that anything that made it through this life, anything that endured, anything that passed through that trial that ended up as gold, silver, and precious stone, we will realize that we had nothing to do with it, and it was all God, and that's why we will cast those rewards back at the feet of Jesus, saying, "You are worthy, Lord, because it was you who did it, and it wasn't me." There are going to be, unfortunately, I believe, and you guys, those of you, I understand that there's a few builders here in the church. And there's a few people who like to make chainsaw sculptures. You will understand this illustration. There will be some masterworks, beautiful, beautiful works of wood that people have invested hours upon hours upon hours of building and labored in their life to accomplish these great things. But they're going to be made of wood. And when they are touched by fire, they will burn up and disappear. We do not want to live our lives in waste. We do not, it is not good that we should live our lives and be investing our time and our effort in the wrong things, in fleshly things. Because it will be burnt up. We need to be serious about the call that of God upon our lives. And to live our lives in the power of the Spirit of God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. If you turn there, we read it. You probably have it memorized. I can't even find it right now. Here, there it is. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Or verses 1 and 2. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." How do we walk in the Spirit? How do we live our lives in the Spirit? It's a continual exercise in faith, looking unto Jesus. Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, be the Father my children need to be through me. Fill me with your Spirit. I cannot do the things. I wish we had more time. Romans chapter 6 and 7. Man, the things that I would do, I cannot. The things that I want to do, I find not how to do them. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? You know what the problem there is? It's that little word I that's always repeated. I. We will find that I does not cut the cheese. That's probably not a good expression. Cut the mustard? I don't know. Anyways, you know what I'm trying to say. It doesn't get it done. I do not get anything done. It is the Spirit of God. I can do all things through who? Through Christ, who what? Strengthens me. I can't do anything in my flesh. All I can do is fail, and I'm good at failing. But if there's victory, if there's any goodness, it is Christ in me. And back to Galatians chapter 6, "He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." In other words, the things that will be reaped that are done in the Spirit will have everlasting value. They will not disappear. They will be continually before God, honoring and praising His goodness and His glory and His majesty. And it says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." anybody who has ever tried to grow anything, and I do not like the process of planting and harvesting. Nothing about that appeals to my flesh. As far as the actual plants, okay? Not something I really enjoy or have any desire to do. But I live in an agricultural community, and I see the struggles that the people go through, their labor and hard work and sacrifice and investment, all for what? In hopes that they will have a good harvest. And anybody who starts out, and this happens on occasion, you'll get a young man back there who's all gung-ho. He'll go back into the country back there, and he'll cut down the trees, and he'll cut down the brush, and he'll burn it, and he'll till up the ground. He'll plant the seed, and then they get impatient, and they don't stick with it, and they let the weeds overtake. And they don't fumigate, and they don't protect that precious seed that they planted. And then when it comes time to harvest, they want this huge harvest, and they're lucky if they get half of what it could have been. And they're disappointed, and they're upset. Why didn't this work out? What went wrong? Well, they didn't continue. They fainted and they got weary. And they missed out. But those who were faithful and who were out there watering and clearing the weeds and killing the bugs that were destroying their plants, when harvest time came, they had a bountiful, abundant harvest. Because they didn't faint and they didn't get weary of well-doing. The Christian life is not an easy life. It's not a life without its hardships. It's not a life without its difficulties. And many times we want to give up. And many times we want to take the easy way out. Start strong many times, but we don't stay the course. And then we're frustrated. And you know what we usually do? We usually blame God. God, it's your fault. You're the one who led me to do this. You're the one who caused this. What? How dare we blame God when we're the ones who didn't give it our all. We're the ones who got weary. We're the ones who tired out. We're the ones who didn't trust in the goodness of God that there would be a bountiful harvest, whether it be with our family, our kids, our job, whatever the case may be. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. That's a promise. We shall reap if we faint not. We don't know when that may be. God's timing, his timetable is not my timetable. Two totally different things. But God is not a liar. His word is true. So he says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Let us do good unto all men, but especially them who are the household of faith. What is it that God wants to do? He wants to use us. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. God wants to use us. God wants to fill us with his Spirit. He wants to give us victory. He wants us to live in the fruit of his Spirit. He wants us to live in the joy and the peace and the long-suffering, the gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. He wants us to have it all. But it is from him and through him. We spend so much of our lives pursuing other things that we think will fulfill us, other things that we think will satisfy us. We spend so much of our time fulfilling our own dreams and desires. And they're just never enough. You know why I know? Because I'm just the same. I love all things that have to do with power. Sports. Power sports. Motorcycles, four-wheelers, side-by-sides. You know what the problem is, though? Every year you want the newer model, right? The old one's just not good enough. Can't keep up, man. The old one's only the only one's got 875 cc's. The new ones are, you know, got that 1000 XP, you know, side by side. Man, got to have the new one, right? Family. People do I've seen people sacrifice to the moon and back, pouring their all into their family. And never satisfied. Always disappointed. Always, no matter how much they give, no matter how much they sacrifice, there's always that one person who just doesn't respond. There's always that one child that takes advantage or doesn't reciprocate the love or whatever. Because those things don't satisfy like God can satisfy. Like the Spirit of God can satisfy. The Christian life, I made the statement earlier, we make it so complicated. And I'm not saying it's easy. It's a chore. It's a discipline. But the battle is won and lost between the Spirit of God and our flesh. Do we give in to our flesh and ignore the Spirit of God? Or do we walk and look, keep our eyes fixed upon Him, the author and finisher of our faith? If we will walk with our eyes fixed on Jesus, our lives will be different. We truly will experience the new life in Christ. We will truly see how old things have passed away and how all things are becoming new. Are we willing to walk and trust in God and walk in His Spirit? This is a challenge. This is something I struggle with. And it needs to be before us daily, moment by moment. We need to realize our inabilities. And we need to see God for who He is and see His ability. God said that His strength is made perfect in our weakness. God is good and He is able. We need to learn to walk in the Spirit and invest our lives properly in the Spirit of God. Let's pray, and then if there's any questions, I think there's a few minutes left, so maybe. Not sure what time it is. So, okay. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank You once again for Your love for us. Thank You for Your word. Lord, help us to learn what it means to walk in the Spirit, to be filled with Your Spirit. Lord, that we would be able to say, just as Paul said, for me to live is Christ. And to die, to pass from this life, to spend an eternity with You is gain. But this life, my life, Lord, should belong to You. That You would live through me to accomplish Your will, to have Your way, Lord, and that I would enjoy and walk in the Spirit and have the fruit of the Spirit in my life. And Lord, and that these brothers and sisters, that we all would have the same fellowship and that our fellowship would truly be with You, Lord Jesus. To experience Your joy. And to walk in You, Lord. Help us to not deceive ourselves any longer. Lord, if that's where we were, if that's where we've been living, help us not to deceive ourselves. Lord, nothing good comes of the flesh. Help us to walk, to be filled with your Spirit. In the Lord, in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.